And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 209. Welcome, my name is Sias Lindenstein. This is Black and a Half, the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. Welcome to today's show. Today's episode is special for two reasons. Number one, my good friend and Seattle theater critic, Jay Irwin, is on the episode. He joined me today to talk with me about an incident, which is number two. I want to catch up with Jay. It's been a long time. He's actually a return guest. He was in the first like 10 episodes, I believe. I think maybe even first five. Jay is an actor, was a little more dominating as an actor when I first knew him. He focuses more in the film review world, not the film review, sorry, the musical and play review world in Seattle. So you can check his website out at Broadway World. He has a page there. You can check out all the Seattle show. If there's a Seattle show of any importance, he's reviewing it. So he should be on your press list if you run a theater, bottom line. So he came on, but I wanted someone on to talk about an incident with me. My wife and I went to see To Kill a Mockingbird at the Paramount Theater. Wonderful production. I mentioned that in here. And we had an incident that was a little upsetting. We ended up leaving at intermission because of an interaction with the usher beforehand. And let me say, I have emailed Paramount, or rather STG, the Seattle Theater Group, who puts on these shows at the Paramount, to tell them about what happened. I've only exchanged to find out who to talk to. I did need to write it out still. It's easier, as you know, as a listener, for me to just discuss things. So I got it out on voice here. That did let a lot of it out, which was good, but it's still an incident that needs to be addressed. So we talk about in detail what that incident was in this episode. And I will for sure let you know on upcoming episode the response I got from STG once they read the story. I'm going to try to write that out actually today and get it to them. Or I might just click them a link to this website, to the website, and to what section we talked about this in. So maybe I'll do that. I don't know. I'll try to write it out. But I'm definitely a better communicator verbally, and so that's how I do best. And yeah, so there you go. That's me. That's my story. Today's episode, Drew and I know it's been about a month, and I just realized one of the episodes didn't publish on the website, so I got to get that on the website. Hopefully you don't just listen to this webisodes when they get published. Hopefully you're subscribed. So please go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe so you make sure you don't miss any. Need to catch up. As you know, I've launched another website and podcast called You're Watching a Movie with Sias Lindenstein. That's where I'm putting all the movie reviews now. We're trying to keep this an interview and, you know, discussion place. So the Black and Half will hold interviews. You're Watching a Movie with Sias Lindenstein. That is going to be the place that houses both my movie reviews and film and TV discussions. So go check that out. Same podcast provider. I do have a YouTube channel now for that. It's not dedicated, but you go to yourwatchingamovie.com and you can find, you'll find videos on there that I'm using and putting up, ones that I've already recorded, but just hadn't gotten to the YouTube format, just figuring out what that is, what that means. So check it out. Check it out, folks and people and things like that. So it was a good talk. It was good catching up with Jay. So there's a mix. We do meander a bit. We start off catching up a little bit on reviewing. Then we tell the story. Then we start talking about theater and reviews a little bit. Then we come back to the story, and then we go back out again, and then we come back. But I do try to finish off the story completely. So you may have to listen longer than you intended to find out at least the resolution of it all, or how it's been left. So check it out. Hope you enjoy it. I do notice, ironically, all my trauma episodes where I discuss in the past, those tend to be more listened to. So people either care a lot about me or they like to hear when I'm in pain. So one of the two. Anyway, a big shout out to our Patreon supporters, the Inner Circle members in particular, Tara Wiedner, Stefan Ward, Keith Nagel. Thank you for supporting the show, this program. Thank you for being an Inner Circle member. If you want to become a member of the League of Extraordinary Listeners, you too can join for just $1 a month. Go to patreon.com/black-and-a-half and sign up. I'm also trying to be much better about putting these on YouTube. So the Tara Wiedner and that gang, they pay a little extra, just a little bit more to be an Inner Circle member. You can too, and I'll give you a shout out on this page for whenever I can, for as long as I can. So, but I should have more episodes on this coming. I got a lot of interviews potential coming up because of award season. And now I'm streamlining everything, so it should work out. Also, to support support this podcast, you can also check out the other podcasts I do. One, you're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein. Also, you're buying a home with Silas Lindenstein. That podcast, man, that is a successful podcast. That hit number 13 on Apple Podcasts. Last year. Get a lot of listens to that. So if you are interested in buying a home or know someone who is, it's the step-by-step process. My goal is to educate and empower home buyers all over the nation. So you or someone you know, check it out. I also connect people with real estate agents all over the country. You know I'm an expert interviewer and podcaster and actor. And now, so you know I must also naturally be a great real estate agent. That's it. That's the dream. You should, so check it out. And it supports the show. It supports me. Supports everything I do. All the crazy things I do. And hey, in case you're wondering, yes, that is me. That was me that you saw on a Bartels drug ad. Bartel drug ad. There's no S at the end of Bartels. Bartel drug ad. That was me and the goat, in case you're wondering. I get messages almost every other day from somebody saying they saw me on the TV, which is really cool. It's the biggest thing I've ever done. I didn't know when I was doing it how big it was going to be, but it is. But that's it. That's that commercial. That's that podcast. But this is this podcast. So right now I want you to open your heart and open your ear holes and listen to episode number 209, The Return of Jay Irwin and my experience with an usher.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
It's been a while.
It has.
You were You were like my fourth guest.
Was I really?
Yeah.
I still see you all the time though, because every time I turn on the TV, there you are with a goat.
There. If I had a quarter. Oh, I do actually for each time.
There you go.
I was like, oh, it's the one time that that's true. That's good. I didn't know you. Do you watch sports a lot?
No, not. I'm sorry. Have we met? No.
Well, I was told it mainly aired during sports events.
No, I see it all the time. I'm trying to think where now, but it's, I know I've been seeing it a lot. It's, but it's definitely
during
not
Quantum during Leap. Shooting. Was it during Quantum Leap? That would excite me.
Oh, you know,
just say it was, then I'll be happy.
I think it might have been.
Oh my God, that's so awesome. I'm so excited.
I'm
going
to just say it was. I don't think it was this one, but I think it might have been last week's.
Ooh. Yeah. I like that.
I it could have definitely been part of Quantum Leap because I do watch that one on the live.
Live. Got to see it live. Yep. You know, it's funny. I've always, you know, I don't know if you felt this as a fellow actor. Like, I always thought the goal for recognition, for at least for the recognition part of it, would be get a series. Because I thought, oh, if you're on a series, then everyone will see you.
Sure.
And what I kind of never occurred to me was actually, if you're on a commercial, that airs on every station between almost any show. Like,
it's true.
Whereas like a show, if you don't watch it, you kind of have to go seek it out if you know somebody's in it. Mm-hmm. And like, I've heard about people who are on a show and I'm like, yeah, I missed it. I didn't see it. It's funny to me, like, I didn't realize until this, and this is just a local commercial. I didn't even know Bartels was only local until I saw how much money they weren't offering for it. and I was like, oh, it's local, huh? Okay. I didn't realize that, but everyone says they don't see commercials because they don't watch TV. I don't even watch TV. That's what they say. But somehow,
well, I watch TV.
Show that only airs on TV, I'm getting messages at least every other day like, hey, I saw you. So, and they see.
I watch a metric ton of television.
Oh, me too.
And so I've seen it multiple times.
That's cool. I feel like I watch a lot of TV, I haven't actually been able to catch myself on TV yet.
Really? Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I think,
I mean, the first time was definitely a little bit of culture shock. I'm basically fast forwarding through the commercials as one does.
Oh, and that's another reason I figured nobody's going to notice because they don't want to see nobody. I had a lot Washington State Lottery commercial at the beginning of the year, and but I was the punchline at the end of it, kind of like my life. And most people, I don't think, caught it because they do skip and they don't look usually. Especially the last second, but this one I was the whole time. So,
I was doing the fast forward and basically did the cartoon screech of the brakes. Like, hold a minute, okay, let's go back a little bit. Just
I know that.
Who was that? I think, yeah.
Which is great. It's fun. It's a fun experience to have.
I think you can say, you know, you've made it now.
Yep, that's it. I peaked.
You're done. This is it.
My printer for my newsletter, because I put something in there about it, said, well, you should get that in a couple of days. He said, he's like, oh, is this the first thing you've ever done? I'm like, no, 30 years in the making. 30 years. I was like, seriously, you had no idea I did that, huh? Good. Okay. Well, guess that just shows. Thanks for watching it. Yeah, appreciate it. Okay, this is how hard it is. Viola Davis is right.
Yeah.
Are you doing much acting lately?
No, I mean, you know, in my daily life, when people ask me, hey, would you like to be on my podcast? Then there's some acting going. I mean,
would
what?
You say
no.
Yes? Oh, I'd love to. Ooh.
I would. I Ooh. Only for you. Only for you. Promise. No, I don't. I don't really do it anymore. There's a bit of a, I don't know if it's a real stigma or one that I've imposed upon myself, that I don't feel welcome anymore at auditions, only because I'm that guy on the other side.
Yeah.
And I've gotten looks before when I walked into an audition, the look of, what are you doing here? And I'm like, I'm still a person, you know?
Yeah.
I can
hear you talking about me. What are you?
I just don't anymore. I'm still working on that web series thing, The Gamers.
Yeah.
Through Zombie Orpheus. We've got the one episode out that's on Amazon Prime. It's been out there forever. And now they're talking about how they want to film the second episode, you know, how it goes with the web series. You know, there's a humongous gap in between episodes because you got to raise the money and everything. But no, they're actually getting schedules from us now. So
cool. I would
assume they're serious.
Now, when you got into reviewing, were you aware? Did you realize that that would potentially be an issue?
Oh God, no.
No.
No, I figured they would be completely separate. I figured there would probably be a little bit of maybe theaters that wouldn't really want me to come in just because maybe I had to give them a bad review and they didn't take it well.
Yeah.
Cause you know, not everybody is an adult about it.
Yeah.
You know, I've gotten my share of nasty grams and, you know, I've pretty much figured, well, I'm not going to audition for them again.
Yeah.
But, no, I did not expect it to go as far as it did to the point that I honestly just don't feel welcome. And again, that could be a real thing, or that could be just me projecting my own insecurities on the situation.
You know,
it's how I feel.
I when I got into film criticism, when the first time a local thing came up to do, or that I was, even before that, I interviewed someone, I really liked them, and I interviewed, and I tried in my review, I was trying to say good things I liked and a couple of like things like, oh, I didn't like this as much. I felt like, man, I think I said one thing I didn't like and they seemed a little bothered by it. And I was like, I like the movie overall. But so like after I interviewed some folks for something locally, and the movie wasn't something I would necessarily recommend. And I decided at that point, before I did a review, I said, you know what? If it's local, I think I'm just going to interview them.
There you go.
And talk about the show. And maybe I won't, because I have a feeling this may happen again to me.
Yeah.
And I could see how I could, if I don't like something and I tell people and it gets a good listen, I was like, I don't want to get knocked out. I want to get not cast the way I'm getting not cast now, not because of my review. I want it because of my personality.
Exactly. I want it because I'm just difficult to work with.
Yeah, not because I write bad things, because I'm just an asshole.
That situation happened fairly early on in my reviewing. And it was that moment where I did make the decision. Am I going to even... am I going to keep reviewing? Am I going to try and go back into the acting? And I just decided, this is where I want to spend my time. I have somewhat of an audience. So there you go.
And there's the thing is, I don't think we all take different paths. I take 20.
I know you do. Multi-hyphen.
Whatever. But, the thing is, I do think theater does need people that, in somewhat even from the world, right, of that can give honest criticism without. I like that you were an actor first, I think it's a good perspective of it.
Sure.
I do believe that, we can still see you acting and stuff. You just have to pick your. Work directly with people more instead of
the
audition route, which is horrible anyway.
God, it's the worst.
And it's the worst.
Oh, it's so painful. I don't know why we ever decided to do this.
Right. Like, but I think it's good. Just like as a budding filmmaker, I have a different perspective going into reviewing a movie. Cause I also know as a director how many accidents I've had happen. Where people said, oh, I loved how you did this, like to show how that was happening. I'm like, yeah, That's no, why I did that. Yeah.
That was on purpose. Absolutely. I meant to do that.
Yeah. So, you know, I know there's accidents and I know like sometimes like you, sometimes things are super lucky and sometimes,
yeah,
that's not the choice I would have made. I didn't make that, but everyone else made it for me and I didn't mean that.
Sure.
You know, I think that's a different perspective to have as a film reviewer. And I think it works, you know, in theater as well. And the fact that you can build an audience, because as much as we, I don't know what your acting aspirations.
I know there are people that read these things and I don't like to think how many there are, because in my brain, I write these reviews and I press send and they go out into the ether and no one reads them. This is my defense mechanism, that no one ever sees these.
Yeah,
I know it's not true, because I get people saying, oh yeah, I loved your review on such and such. And I'm like, you read that? And like, I read every one of your reviews. I'm like, oh, okay. And there's my one person there. I know that it's more than one person.
So, have you ever thought of bringing them to screen at all?
Actually, yeah. Early on, there was another reviewer in town who's no longer with us, who he and I jokingly talked about it, doing like, you know, a Siskel and Ebert kind of thing, but for theater reviews. Because he and I actually very rarely agreed. Yeah. So it had that built-in conflict.
Yeah.
It was a passing thought that never went anywhere.
Well, I don't think you should always discount that. You got a good personality. You'd probably be get a decent number of YouTube views on that, just on talking theater.
Okay. Maybe I'll pick your brain about it later, because I honestly wouldn't even know how to do this.
This is the greatest thing behind me right now. It's a retractable green screen.
Nice.
That folds up. I just bring it down like a screen and it's done. It's gone.
I like how you're gesturing to it, even though you realize
I know. You can't see it, but I'm pointing at
it. I have no idea what you're pointing at.
I know. It's magic.
The magic of cinema or podcasting or whatever.
I love movies. Movies is my thing, my jam. I've always loved theater, but too much time. Yeah. Takes too much time for me now. So that's why comedy happened. Whoa. And I don't often get out to see as much live theater, right?
True.
But now we got like some sitter kind of situation happening, so I'm able to. So we were very excited, because we had been able to go to a few shows last year for a couple of different events. And I said, how about if we get season tickets to one of the theaters here? And so I just chose Paramount. I don't know why I chose Paramount over Fifth Ave. No idea why. Just chose.
Okay. I
pointed at it and said, how about this? Okay. Here's some things. And this is a big reason you're on here today, talk to you about this.
Okay.
So my experience, we went to see Kill a Mockingbird, the Friday night performance of it. I think it was only
green screen's leaking.
In town 1 week, right? Was that it? One week?
You had a weird light thing going on.
I
saw that.
I don't know how to fix it.
okay, sorry. To Kill a Mockingbird, let's go back. Yeah,
Kill a Mockingbird. Yeah. Which my wife said when I said, oh, we'll go see this play, you know, these musicals, it's a play. She's like, she goes, like, does she want to spend her night out doing that? And I was like, it'll be fun. And she's like, it's not fun. I've read the book. And I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, not that kind of fun, but it's fun, like, to go out together. And sure. So my wife was a healthcare worker during COVID. Do you remember COVID when it was happening? Because it's apparently not.
You know,
anymore.
I vaguely remember something about it. It's over now, right? Yeah,
that's pretty sure. That's why nobody had masks anymore.
Yeah.
But so she has a little bit of PTSD from it, sort of like a little of being a healthcare worker in the midst of it, right? So she's in therapy. She's fine about it, doing it, getting through it. And so she was like, oh, and I will say 3 months ago, we probably couldn't even have gone, because it would have been too much drama there. I was familiar with the play and I've seen the movie and the book read a long time ago. But I hadn't read anything about this production. I didn't know anything until actually we left. We read up some stuff on it. So we go to see this play, which I know is going to be culturally tense. And I know there's going to be a lot of N-words. I knew it going in. I know it's about racial issues in the 30s, yep. 40s.
30s.
I was very happy that I did see one black woman in there, one in the lobby. And I was like, oh, good. And it's not just, I'm glad I'm not the one represented. glad there's someone darker than me. And so we go up and we're kind of running a little behind schedule. So it's, you know, we're getting there about, and they're blinking the lights as we come in. So they're like, oh, we got like 10 minutes. We go up, we're just going up to our seat in the second mezzanine, I think. Maybe it's the second. I think it's the second. First, I don't know.
If you're up in the balcony, I mean, you're...
Well, up high, not the orchestra. I just forget if it's it was the second. It's the second one, yeah.
Second mess, okay.
Yeah. So, not third. Poppers.
I'm not an animal.
Either we're the first one or like we're the second section up. I don't know if that's there's a section of rows and then us.
I want to say that would, for the Paramount, that would probably be the second mezzanine.
Okay. So we're going up to our seats and I forgot where they were. And so we get one usher tells us like, oh yeah, go up this way. And sorry. The incident, how it starts. Yes. So we're going up there and we're like, oh, should we grab a drink beforehand? I'm not drinking alcohol right now. And that is my wife. So she just grabs a water and a Diet Pepsi. And last second I go, you know what? I'll grab some Red Vines. I've been enjoying the Red Vines at movie theaters. It's like my treat whilst in my weight loss program. I'll have a box of Red Vines as my treat.
There you go.
For the week.
There you go.
So I grab some Red Vines and the guy says, hey, this play is kind of quiet. So we're asking people to open up their food before it starts or just wait till intermission. We're like, got it. Absolutely. Sure. Understandable. And I actually appreciated it because I've done plays and I know that I understand mm-hmm. that. And to Arbor, we are subscribers and we've been to other plays and we've been to plays before there. So I know from the past. One thing I liked about the Paramount was I get to bring food in, that I can have food and eat it. There are musicals, it's not that, you know, it's loud, so you can usually open it. But I do stand-up comedy, and I perform while people are eating. And
oh, yes.
I also understand the annoyance of orders and things happening, so I'm not even a big... So when I go, I try to be a little just quiet anyway, right? So that's my thing. But I understood, yeah, it's a drama. I don't want to be a jackass. But I was actually, so I'm glad Paramount, I was excited when I first went to Paramount and realized I could bring food in because I was like, oh, I've been doing community theater. The only other time I was able to bring food in was when I was in London because people there are naturally polite, right? You don't have to tell them that. They all just open up their chips or whatever they call it there right before it starts. They just all go shh as the lights are going down. They just hear mm-hmm. that. Shh. You don't have to tell them. They know to do that.
Or their little ice cream with the wooden spoon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm.
I love those.
Memories.
Yes.
So I get it. And then we're fine. We get directed to where our seats are. And we're on the kind of on the wrong side. So I'm like, there's a bunch of people. And we're like in the middle. I was like, you know, we should go around to not disrupt everybody. So okay. We go around, walk by some usher, and we're starting to head down. My wife is holding the Red Vines for whatever reason. I was holding the drink. She's holding the Red Vines. I paid. That's why. He goes, this usher comes up, tall, let's say, like, you know, white dude, white guy in his late 50s, mid 60s, okay. somewhere like that. He's like, hey, that food? You can't eat it in here. You need to eat that outside. This is play. It's not allowed in this section. Like, and he's like that. He's like, he's really like, he seems mad. Like Red Vines have sodomized his family or something, right? Like, it's like he has some hostile feelings toward these Red Vines. And we're like, and she's like, oh, okay. And
Red Vine like, killed his mother.
Yeah. Okay. And then he goes again. Yeah, you can go outside and have them, but you can't have them in here. You can't eat them. And I go, okay, we won't eat them. And he's like, oh, I was just saying, like, we got it. Okay. And here was my thing.
Okay.
Lay the fuck off my wife. He doesn't know that she has PTSD right now. She's also a very kind person in general. Her demeanor is not, she doesn't have airs about her. I don't know why it seemed like he was attacking her. From later on talking to her, she was like, if we weren't late for our seats, like if we weren't rushing to get to our seats, she would have asked to talk to the front of the house manager right then. And I was in a rush just to get to our seats too, because I was like, you're an ass. Like, this guy was being an asshole to her for no reason. But we had to get to our seats before the show starts. So sure. That's what I was focused on. Like, I was getting the fucking seats. And also, in my experience, and I'm like, I thought he was wrong because he just told us we could eat it. Old white men don't like being corrected, particularly by brown people. So I wasn't going to deal with that right then. Okay. I didn't want to deal with it. I often don't like to deal with that. And if I do, I know it's going to be a confrontation. So I wasn't. I would have checked with someone else. I was like, but he just sold it this way. He just said we could open it. Like, I don't, whatever. But my main thing was I'm protecting my wife. We're just getting to our seats. And that, yeah. I'm not going to deal with this. Okay, fine. Whatever. I won't eat it. So we get to our seats. We sit down and I look over and there's a fucking kid eating gummy bears that were bought. I saw them. My kids have gotten them when we went to other shows there and they ate them. Like, you're allowed to. So I was like, exactly. I was like, fucking, I was like, that's an usher. He doesn't know. He's a volunteer. He doesn't know. That's what I presumed at the time. I said, he's an usher. He doesn't know the rules. Yeah. Every other theater he goes to, maybe they don't. And he thought that was here, but you know what? I'm not going to make a scene. I'll just be discreet. So like I quietly, as we're like fumbling, popping around, I just popped them open and I took a few and put them, tucked them under, and I was like, I'll eat these when the show starts, whatever. And then I'm waiting, you know, we're waiting, and it was a busy line, so it's not starting right away. And so like I'm just taking little bits and just quietly eating, right? Meanwhile, people next to me are drinking because they're, you know, you can bring drinks in too. So they're drinking beer and alcohol, whatever. And then I hear something like, hey, hey, and turn, and it's the usher, and he's like, I just told you you can't eat. Like, he's like a row behind me, like a couple rows behind. I'm like, I just told you you can't eat. I'm like, yeah. I was like, the bartender said to just open it up beforehand, and he shouldn't have sold it if that was the case. And he's like, well,
sure.
I was like, you know, no, whatever. And then this lady, this Karen next to him goes, oh, well, you knew. Like, she said, like she's getting in this. And I'm like, what are you riling up the crowd? But like, and my wife's pissed off because she's like, what is he? What, like, this guy's making a scene here. So she's kind of embarrassed. And I'm like, no, okay, whatever. And like, he's like, the guy, like, his face at me contradicting him was exactly what I thought it would be. Exactly how I thought it would be. So he goes off and I look around and I'm like, you know, me and my wife, we're the only ones wearing masks, by the way. And I'm a little like, fuck. Now I'm like, we're going to get kicked out, right? Is this guy going to try to kick me out for this? And I'm going to have to make an issue about some the bartender said, and my wife's gonna be pissed at me. This is, I screw this night up, damn it. And I turn, the lights are starting to go out, they're like going to half, and I look back and I see that guy pointing at us and he's talking to someone wearing all black, and I'm like, ah, fuck, wait, are they gonna what? And then the lights go off and then the play starts and it goes. Now they don't come to us during the play. And I'm like, okay, at intermission, if there's an issue, they're going to say something. And I'm sitting there. So I'm thinking about that. And I'm thinking about the interaction with them. And then I'm watching this play. And I'm getting, look, I knew what I'm getting in for. I knew what I was in for, yes. Right? But I'm hearing the N-word a lot. from white people on stage. And I'm like, I can separate this. This is this. You know, usually I'm watching a movie when this is. And so I'm like, I'm disassociated. I'm sitting somewhere.
These are live people in front of you.
Live. Oh, and I'm like, and I'm saying to myself, they're far away. And I was like, God, they are really good actors. I wonder if that's why I'm so disturbed right now. They are really good and I'm not comfortable. And occasionally there's jokes and people laugh. And I look around like, why the fuck are you laughing at this? And I was like, oh, because it's funny. It's a comic relief. I get it. It's the tension's there. Sometimes sure. My wife will laugh and I'm like, oh, okay, she's enjoying it. I can't see her face. And I'm increasingly uncomfortable during this. And it's starting to remind me of high school. Ooh. When we would read like Huckleberry Finn. And I'm the only person of color in there. And people are reading it. And they are allowed to say the N-word because it's in the thing. And I'm like, ah, ah. And I'm reminded of that. And then I'm thinking about, oh, this is that black trauma thing where they talk about of black people having to watch black trauma. And that's the kind of movies we get is usually the black trauma. We call it black trauma porn, right? And I was like, this is the black trauma porn that I'm watching. Oh, shit. Oh, I'm feeling this now. Why am I? Oh, I don't want to ruin a good time, though. Oh. And then they get to that scene in the court where the woman who's accusing him of rape starts calling him an ape and a monkey. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm fucking done. And then the woman gets up to leave the housekeeper. And I was like, yes, that's what I want to do right now. Cause I'm like, oh, I feel that. I was like, I can't take this. I'm getting really tense. Granted. And all during that, while I'm feeling this tension, I'm like, oh my God, this set is beautiful. And the way they're moving through everything. And I don't remember the play being quite like this. It's being presented a lot. I was like, oh, great directing choices, the way they're doing it. I didn't know they rewrote it. So that makes more sense too.
Oh yeah, Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah. And then I'm like, now that I found that out, I was like, oh, no wonder I was thinking it was so good. But it was intense and it was driven and it was focused and it really was driving it home. And I'm watching this and kind of like, why do I have to watch this? I don't need to learn anything from this. I know the lessons of this. I've seen this. And also, by the way, I'm like, and I'm not mad at him or anybody in the production, but I'm mad at society in general. But I'm like, I've seen this show and I've also seen versions of this show, like 20 different ones, because I see a lot of black films. I see a lot of about the black experience. I see where I was trying to remember, which one is this? Is this the one where he's accused of raping her, but he never even was in there? Is this the one where they did kind of make out and then she realized, oh, I shouldn't have done that, and then they run away? Is this the one where, because I know it's a false accusation, I just forget which one is this, because I see this all the time, and I'm starting to get mad thinking about, is this the only one these people have seen? Why are we all here? This is a common move. This is a movie. There's three or four movies of like this every single year that nobody sees, although they want to support the black experience, but they don't go watch the stuff. But then they're somehow here, and I'm being yelled at by this old white guy, and this other Karen is getting riled up just like these crazy white people in this show. All the crowd, because of a false accusation, is getting riled up wanting to go after this black man. Now, I'm not saying I'm on the same level. It's very minuscule. It's like comparing Premier League soccer to my U7 girls team, right? It's not the same. I get it. But this is what's going through my head, riling me up. And then at the end of intermission, I'm expecting the usher to be there, right? And so are the end of the first act. And I see my wife looking at her clock, you know, and I'm like, it's a long act. And the lights come up, the act is over, and I'm like, oh. And I turned to it, I was like, this is not the escapism I was hoping for of society. It feels kind of recent. And I'm highly uncomfortable. And she's like, do you want to go? I can go. And I was like, I don't want to, you're enjoying it. She's like, no, I could go. I could. She was so uncomfortable during this show. But there's nobody there. There's no usher there. And I'm like, I thought we were going to get kicked out. But do you want to just go? Do you want to go? And she's like, yeah, I would go. And I'm like, let's just go. It's a fine production, but I'm not in the right headspace. I don't know if it's because of just that guy that got me mad. starting it off, or it's the whole trauma porn aspect of it. And so we go.
I think it's probably a combination of all those factors.
Yeah, fair enough. And I was like, I'm gonna supposed to go see Till next week. Like, I better not get upset now. But that's about the woman's perspective, the mother. I think it's a different story. Hopefully.
Yeah. Hope no, I've seen the trailers. It looks really interesting. Yeah.
So we leave. Good production. Yeah. I feel even bad I'm leaving, and there's a black woman at the door, an usher, who's like, oh, Dean, are you coming back in? And I'm like, no, sorry. Gotta go. I didn't want to get into it. My wife kind of wanted to talk to the house manager, because as we were leaving, and we see all these people, you know, what is it? It's a 15-minute intermission.
Yes.
Huge lines of concessions, right?
Yeah.
As we're like walking out and we're talking about what happened with the usher, I was like, that was bullshit. And she's like, I wanted to talk to the house manager. If we weren't there, I don't even know if maybe we should talk to them right now. And I was like, I don't know. And she's like, and kind of wanted us to go. And we see these people like walking into the back into the theater with cookies, you know? And oh, and as we left, there was like M&M wrappers on the floor too. So a lot mm-hmm. of people were eating. The kid who was eating gummies, his mom never said anything after that scene was made either. Hey, maybe you should stop eating. Because I think she also knew the rule that no, we're allowed to eat. We're just being quiet about it.
Well, she also wasn't getting yelled at by the Karen.
Yeah, true. But I was like, people are going in with food right now. Are they really? And as we're leaving, you know, they start blinking the lights because then there's only 10 minutes to go. And I'm like, there's huge lines. People are absolutely bringing food back in. What Man. Was up with that? What's going on? So we left and we talked about it home, and we talked about this play and about why, who it's meant for. I was like, is it meant for me? I don't think I need to see that. And she was saying, Gretchen was like, you know who needs to see that? My hometown. My home of my Christian white townmates who all think like Atticus, oh, I live next door to these people. There's nothing wrong. They're not really racist, right? That's where Atticus is like, they're good people. But they're not. They're not. Mm-hmm. The guy under the hood, he's the teacher. He's recognized. They're not good people. And that's who needs to see that. Part of me was wondering, does anyone in Seattle need to see this play? I mean, it's good. Well,
I definitely still think people in Seattle need to see this play on a couple of different levels. First off, I think people need to see it just because it was a really good piece of work.
It's really good. It is so good.
I mean,
I've never left a good show before.
Yeah. I think the staging is wonderful. I think the performances were great. I think it's really, the adaptation is really well written. I just think it's a good piece of work.
But it's a masterclass in performance and directing. Yeah. It's wonderful.
But even as much of a blue state as we are in.
Yeah.
Yes, I still think people in this town could benefit from seeing what you call racial trauma porn.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm just speaking as a white guy.
Oh, that's so uncomfortable right now.
It really is.
At least especially you're not straight. Okay.
Especially because, you know, I'm looking at their background and it says black and a half right in my face. But so, you know, don't yell at me. No. Send all cards and letters to Silas.
Silas at SilasGetsReal.com.
At SilasGetsReal. I think as a white person, we often get complacent. Mm-hmm. We don't see the black trauma porn in our face every day mm-hmm. as much as, say, you would or another black person would.
You're not looking for it. You're not looking for it.
We're not. No, we're complacent. That's what I'm saying.
And to the opposite end, I'm probably even looking for it where it's not sometimes, because I'm heightened. I'm heightened aware. So I'm like,
oh yeah. I mean,
I'm not saying this guy was racist. I'm not saying the usher was racist.
It's right back to the whole thing of me saying I felt uncomfortable at auditions. You know, maybe I'm looking for it.
True. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's our own biases creeping into our perspective on the world.
Yeah.
And you know, if we think we're going to see it, then our brain's going to make us see it. But I still think that people, even in our blue state that we live in, or it's kind of purple in some areas, kind of red and really east of the mountains. I still think we can benefit from seeing the stories that maybe we are not confronted with every day. But then, I mean, you were saying you don't need to see it because you've survived situations like this. And you were saying that you didn't see any other Black people in the audience.
Well, I did see somebody coming in. I did see a smattering.
Well, okay.
It's a live theater show in Seattle. I'm not expecting a lot.
It's true. But I was going to say, I distinctly remember going to see, and this was on Broadway. Do you know the show, The Scottsboro Boys?
Well, it's familiar, but I don't.
The musical. Do you know what the story of the Scottsboro Boys?
No, I'm blanking.
Oh, goodness. It's eight Black men in, I want to say the 20s, 1920s in the South, who were accused of raping two white women on a train. And the women accused them so that the cops on the train wouldn't arrest them because they were hookers. And they were getting Johns on the train. And then the cops caught them and they're saying, no, we're not hookers. Those guys raped us. Yeah, I know. You would have had issues.
Yeah.
And so they end up going through this trial, and it's an insane story, because even one of the women, after they got this New York lawyer to defend them and they got him to reopen the trial, one of the women recanted her testimony.
Yeah.
She said, I lied. She point blank said, I lied.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't believe her that she lied.
No, because they'd rather believe that.
And there's an interesting moment in one of the songs about it, is where she's singing, how can you believe me when I was telling these horrible lies, but you won't believe me when I'm telling the truth.
Yeah.
And it's because of who she's accusing. But at any rate, what I was going to say is that I distinctly remember going to see this on Broadway, and I was by myself. One of my trips that I just went by myself, and I walk into the theater and I was so in the minority in this room. It was chock-a-block filled with Black people. And I was like, oh, great. Okay. Did I come see The Good Play? I don't know. I haven't seen this before.
Is this going to be good? Is this like when you're in Chinatown and you see there's no white people? It must be good.
This must be where the people in the know go. It was an amazing show. I can't recommend it highly enough.
I will say my defense of the show too, in talking to Gretchen, was I think it is good. The reason these shows are good, the reason Black trauma porn is good for some folks, is because, you know, we are in a time also where people are trying to rewrite history and say slavery was a amicable experience. It benefited both sides, right? We are in a time where people are trying to really forget and don't understand why people are so mad. And we kind of at time need the reminders of how bad it really was, because that was not that long. That was 100 years ago, but 100 years was not that long ago. It was like 90 years, right? And these stories like this were happening through the they happen now, right?
Yeah, no, they happen
still
now.
Happen. But to the prevalency of the 60s, they were easily happening all the time.
And, well, hell, it was up to like what, 1967, that a Black person couldn't marry a white person?
Yeah. So
up to that point, it was like against the law. I think it was 1967.
Right. So, So I'm like, I do get that. That's right. Now, in regard though to this incident.
Yes, the incident. Sorry.
I was like, look, I did make a choice to not listen to the usher. I could have listened to him. I could have said that. I could have about the authority. But I will say, if he hadn't been an asshole to my wife, I probably would have, even though I knew I was pretty positive he was wrong. True. If he had not been a jerk to me, to her, to start off with, it wouldn't have got there. I was just telling her, too, before we get on the air, I think it was hugely ironic that the only reason he even saw us was because we tried to not disrupt too many people.
Sure.
By going through the long way, we decided to go around, and then he caused a disruption twice. Yeah. To like for power. I don't know why. Like, it's a real strange thing. Like, I get it. Maybe he ushers, I don't know, at Driftwood all the time where he can't bring movie, you know, candy into the theater. I don't know why he thought that.
For all you know, maybe when he was talking to that other person in black, all dressed in black, maybe they looked at him and went, "They can."
Yeah. I know, that's another possibility that I thought of. And later on, I was like, oh, maybe they just corrected him. Or they were like, and Gretchen, because we both used to be house managers too, so we know how this works. And there's a chance that they were watching us during the show to see if we were disruptive, and then they would have talked to us, but we weren't.
Exactly.
I wasn't. Honestly, when I heard the N-word so much, I didn't really want to eat. Kind of really turned me off.
It's true.
I lost my appetite. So I'm like, I don't know why people are worried about eating. And also, why'd you bring a 7-year-old to this, white lady? Eating the gummy bear? What? He doesn't hear the N-word enough at home? What? I don't think it's a show for children necessarily. My daughter was like,
we're all forced to read it.
My daughter thought it was weird that we were going to see a musical version of this. Because
I hope not.
Well, because she's like, but it's the Broadway series. I was like, there's more than musicals on Broadway, hon. No, yeah. there's no musical version of this. Nobody.
In fact, I saw this version originally on Broadway.
I said nobody would make a version of nobody's going to make a musical about this subject matter. But I forgot about what the musical you just mentioned. So I guess we do.
Well, and there's also the musical version of Raisin in the Sun called Raisin.
Oh, yeah.
So put it past them.
Is there rape? There's no rape in Raisin, is there?
No.
It's not rape.
It's still a racial story.
Okay.
What I'm saying.
But there's no raping in the Sun, because that would be...
There's no raping in the Sun.
That would be a weird number, too, to call.
But there is definitely rape in the Scottsboro Boys. So, yeah. And it's a musical.
Ooh, yeah.
So...
Yeah.
It's Candor and Ebb, man. You know, that,
there's no dance. Is there dancing?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh. Well, see, you have to understand how the show is presented and understand why there was dancing.
Not during
and
the
why, race. And you might take issue with this. You might be offended by this, but they present the story as a minstrel show.
Yeah, I know.
They're pointing out the hypocrisy of it.
I honestly don't get offended that easily anymore. And because I know I would hope there's an artistic point to it.
Oh, there was.
So
there
I will
was.
Give the benefit. I will give the benefit of doubt. You won't see me picketing because someone makes some real choice. I do like to investigate why, because sometimes there's a valid artistic reason. Sometimes they work. Sometimes it doesn't. That's what it is.
This one worked. Unfortunately, it did not succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was one of the few people that actually got to see it on Broadway because it closed real quick. It was just a timing thing that I happened to be there and I wanted to see it.
You know, I could see there's some subjects that are hard. I still remember when I got the Netflix when they did DVD. Well, I know they still do, but when everyone was getting them, the DVD rentals that they mailed to you, I remember Boys Don't Cry sitting on my shelf for like 5 months because I knew what it was about, and I was like,
you're not the only one that did that.
We gonna put ourselves through this tonight or what?
You're not the only one that did that. There were those envelopes that sat on my coffee table for months, and every time I looked at it, I go, "Oh, I'm just not in the mood for you."
You know what? I guess I better get the higher subscription instead of mailing. I can't mail this back. So.
Oh, I've done it.
I've mailed them.
I've had them for like 7 months and then finally just went, "I'm sending you home." Netflix is starting to think that I've like absconded with you to Mexico.
I don't know. I need a romantic comedy in my life, and you're not
pretty
in.
Much. So pretty much, so. Go see Bros.
I was It interfered with a soccer practice.
I'm sorry. It was so good.
Screening. I do want to see it. You know what's funny? Because I was like, I got intimidated. I felt self-conscious about who to invite to it before it was.
Silas, are you still there? You froze.
What? No, I did not. Are you?
Hello.
Am I really frozen? Or are you messing with me? Oh. Hello. Hello. I'm moving. I'm shaking. What? It's not me, right?
Me.
Is it me? Are you
back? Oh, no, you're back.
You're back.
You're back now.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, it says, I'm getting a message saying my internet connection is unstable. Yeah. Tell me something I don't know. Like,
well, everything in this house is unstable.
Exactly.
I was like, you know what? It'd be great. Oh, I should invite someone from the LGBTQ plus community to see this so that I could get their perspective on it. And then I was like, well, that's bigoted. I shouldn't just bring someone just because they're gay. So I got to bring someone who's not. No, then that would be bigoted because I'm purposely not bringing them. But I was like, but who am I going to watch it with? Who am I going to discuss? Well, I discuss if it is. And then I had a practice at the same time. So that solved my problem. But I am going to go see it because I did get my AMC membership back because I'm missing too many movies because I can't.
I would, to be honest, I would say bring someone not from the LGBTQ community, only because Billy Eichner basically, after the opening weekend, didn't do as great as he wanted to. He said that the straights didn't come out to see his show. And so I would love to see more straight people go see this show to get the word out. You know, because anybody that I tell, you know, oh my God, you have to see, go see Bros. It was so good. They're going to go, of course it was, little gay boy. Pat on the head, you know, just go over there now. And I would love to see more people go see it because I actually thought it was absolutely hilarious. And
you know, it would not be the first rom-com that got slept on that did grow in popularity later.
Oh yeah, Notting Hill did not do well.
Really?
If I remember right, Notting Hill did not do well until it hit video.
That's funny. You know, okay, but here is the thing with that. I mean, I should save it for when I see it, but when I saw it, I was like, "Oh, Billy Eichner. Huh. He acts?" Then I found out later that he does, and I just didn't know.
He does.
He's acting like
Billy Eichner. I mean,
I do feel like there was a little uppityness to the comment of no, the straights didn't come out. And I was like, they think they didn't come to see you, but I don't know that they weren't just coming out. I don't know that he was the draw power of
sure
to an audience that doesn't know him. I mean,
I also want to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt of that comment. He could have just been making a joke.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That but I was kind of, even early on, oh, okay. I don't know. Is this a test in the wall? Because I was actually surprised that this was a big deal because I was like, I've seen gay rom-coms. And so I didn't know this was a first. So I was like,
but this is the first big mainstream.
But then I still questioned it. I was like, yeah, but it's starring Billy Eichner. Is it really a mainstream movie? Like,
it's a mainstream movie only because Universal put it out.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
it was an actual Universal property and not like
not one of their
art house ones.
Okay.
Like Fox Searchlight or any of those.
I got that. Okay. I get now. Then I forgot what I was going to say about him.
I don't know what you were going to say either. I thought maybe the internet connection went away again.
Freeze again.
You froze there for a second.
He is, you know, I mean, I'll check it out. I mean, I guess that my rush to see it was my not rush to go see it was partly because, I mean, I've seen gay rom-coms before, so it wasn't anything new to me. I knew it was like, I heard that it was like getting more of a push, but I guess truthfully, I also wouldn't rush to see any rom-com. So every rom-com has been like, I'll see them, but there wasn't a rom-com that's come out with straight people in the last 4 years that if I had another commitment, I would have canceled it to go see it. So,
okay.
Now, gosh, you know what they should have done though? Like a Lost City kind of gay film.
What about
I mean, Lost City? Although that wasn't quite, it's kind of rom-com.
Lost City still was, a rom-com.
Was it a rom-com?
It was poking fun at rom-coms even. It was because it was poking fun at as romance novels.
Yeah, Jewel of the Nile. It's the modern day Romancing the Stone.
Like Romancing the Stone, yes. Yeah, I understand.
The gay version of that. I might have, if they said it was a gay Lost City, I was like, I fucking love Lost City. I'll go see that. Not just, Boy Meets Girl. I don't care about that. Are they in the jungle? Then I will go see it.
All I'm thinking now is just, hot, sweaty, hunky guys in their Indiana Jones shirts with, that are open down to here. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'd go see it too.
Yeah. We've got a movie.
I mean, what?
let's just take another movie, make them all gay.
There you go. There
everyone. You
go. Even no, but that's the thing about bros though, is they are following very closely the rom-com trope, the formula.
Yeah.
But they're also making fun that they're poking fun that they are following that trope. And unlike other gay rom-coms, I think this one goes, pardon the expression, balls to the wall with the gay humor. Like I'm sorry, I don't know if Billy talked to the gay mafia, but he was letting some of our secrets out.
Well, I know that secrets were let out watching it, or are they secret? Will it go over my head?
No, I don't believe so. I honestly don't believe so. I was thinking about that. It's like, will people not understand, straight people not understand the jokes? And I'm like, no, I think it's just going to give them a little new perspective.
Okay.
I
will try to grab. I think it's still playing in some theaters. I know it's on VOD. Oh, yeah. But I will try to make an effort in the next couple of weeks to get out there for that one as well. We're about to get hitted with award season. So,
oh yeah, you are.
I'm already getting attacked by documentary PR reps to watch their documentaries.
Yep.
Oh my god.
Hey, that's part of your job.
Again,
back to Mockingbird.
I told Gretchen I was like I need someone like Jay to talk to me, because he would also tell me, I would hope he would tell me, it was like, yeah, you shouldn't have fucking ate the candy, you shouldn't have done that, that was your bad.
No, I don't think you shouldn't have eaten the candy. I honestly think that usher was misinformed. You had been instructed by the bartender.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't even just instructed. You were instructed how to do it.
Right. Yes. A detail.
You were not told you could do this. You were told, and these are your instructions.
Yes.
Rinse, lather, rinse, repeat. Yeah. And,
there were no signs. There were no signs around. Nothing. I even double checked on the way out because they normally let us. So you would think they would have signs if there was special instructions for the night.
Sure. I think this usher was misinformed most likely. I think when they brought the issue up to the house manager or whoever they were talking to that was all dressed in black, I would like to think they were corrected.
Yeah.
And as for the Karen.
Oh, that was all.
Karens are going to jump on any bandwagon that they think they can find. So I would discount the Karen.
Oh yeah, I wasn't too upset about that. I was just like, I'm a subscriber, so I'm like, well, I have these same seats. If she's there next time, I'm gonna be careful. I did write for the note for the people listening, for the listeners wondering. I have written a letter. I've written an initial email to ask who I should talk to about a bad incident with an usher. They did respond asking me, I'll direct you to the right person, but if you want to tell me right away, You know, or you could wait, but could you tell me whether it was a, if you remember, description of the usher, and were they wearing black and white or all black volunteer staff member? Yep. So, yep. So that scenario of potentially the real person working told him, yeah, it's not an issue.
Yeah. I think it was probably somebody who was misinformed. I think it was probably somebody who maybe was having a bad day, or just this is the little bit of, like you said, a little bit of power that he has in his life.
Yeah.
Little bit, and like to control it. And I think he was, I think he acted very badly.
Yeah.
I will say that.
I think this was also a really bad play to act badly.
Oh yes, no, I agree.
There's a huge, I was like, I'm watching this, I'm like, there's so much irony right now.
It's true.
Did you just watch this play?
I will say, I'm sad that you missed the end of it.
Yeah.
But I understand why, and I don't think that it was just, I honestly don't think it was just the situation. I think, like you're saying, it was this play combined with the situation. And
our life. Just, I mean, honestly, there's God, it's been so stressful. And then, and with, and the last couple of years racially, I watch some of these films, and so, you know, they're hard sometimes, but usually I'm like, I separate it, but I don't know why they were so, I don't know. They're just so damn good. But I was like, I'm so tired of hearing that right now.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I think you were just not in the mood for that particular moment. And
I don't know how
everything just snowballed. It was like the perfect storm. So
the rest of hopefully the rest of the depressing season is really uplifting for me.
Hey, don't we have Hairspray coming? Come on.
Oh, yeah, that's not racial at all.
I was going to say it's racial, but it's happy.
It's happy.
That's the happy ending.
Jagged Little Pill. I don't know if that's... I can't imagine that being a happy... I don't know what it's about, but I can't imagine it being happy since it's about Alanis Morissette or it's inspired.
Yeah, Alanis Morissette's music. From what I honestly have not seen it. Because I know, I'm so sorry. I've let you down. I've had a couple of different opportunities when I was in New York to go see it, and it just never quite made the list because I've listened to it and I go, that's nice. I was never a huge Alanis Morissette fan. So I knew
it
would
ironic?
Tour eventually. I knew it would tour, and I'm like, I'll see it when it comes here. And I will see it when it comes here.
Moulin Rouge.
From what I understand, there are the issues within it, I believe, are familial and dealing with either trans and or non-binary kids, teenagers.
Was this ahead of its time? Or just...
This is a fairly recent show.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, no, this is not the story that Alanis Morissette was telling with her music. This is the story that they crafted for the show that they then took her music to tell the story.
It was Mamma Mia'd, right? Mamma Mia'd.
It was Mamma Mia'd. It's Mamma Mia'd. But I think it was... When did it go up? It was pre-pandemic, but it was just... Pre-pandemic.
I'm looking forward to What a Man, the musical, when they do a musical based around the Salt and Peppa anthology.
I'm sure it's coming. It's coming, man.
Moulin Rouge, I don't remember the ending. Gretchen indicates that it's also a sad tale. But I was like, but I remember being happy. I remember being happy during that. I don't remember the ending.
I did see that one.
Well, Ewan McGregor will be in it, right? Because he's in the movie.
No, he will not be in it.
What?
Ewan McGregor does not tour with Moulin Rouge.
That he was, in, the movie. He was in the movie.
He's in the movie.
That is false advertising.
It is not false advertising, my friend. This is a stage adaptation of the movie. Get over it.
I know about that.
Yeah, Gregory Peck was not in To Kill a Mockingbird at the Paramount the other night. Okay? Just get over it. Although there was a woman in To Kill a Mockingbird, the production that you saw half of.
Yeah.
The woman that played the older lady, the neighbor, was the original scout.
Yeah, I read about from that.
The movie who was nominated for an Oscar.
That's pretty cool.
Mary Badham.
That's pretty cool.
So you know, my theory of no, the people in the movie do not tour with the show is completely wrong in this regard.
Just saying.
No, I did see Moulin Rouge, and I know a lot of people like it. I was not a fan. I love the movie. I was not a fan of the stage show.
Really, it's a night away from our kids. And that's going to be enjoyable as it is.
Okay. So, then you'll probably love it. Because I do believe that the tagline on all of the advertising is, Silas, you'll get away from your kids. It's Moulin Rouge. Silas, leave the kids at home.
More shows would get our dollars if they would just put that in the poster.
Then I think you need to start this trend.
Marketing departments,
you're listening.
Your turn.
Yeah. Start catering these things.
Yeah. So tailoring them. Technically, if they can come up with a good, maybe they could. I get all those shirts that say Silas is Silas stands for this, like those advertisements, right? They kill
it. Oh, yeah.
So they should have that. That would be a good Facebook thing to say, like, it should say, okay, anybody with kids, say their name, you could get away from your kids as part of it, and sales go up. I just solved the recession.
You did. One. Congratulations. Good job. You.
So here's what I'll do. I will let people know on the podcast I'm going to write up the nice letter telling them exactly what happened, or I'm just going to send a link of, the section, or I'm just going to send them a section of this podcast so they don't have to listen to all of it. But I send them the section hey, I talked about it on this, because by the way, and I learned this as a Lyft driver, never discount who you're talking to. My wife said that Karen said she overheard them, which it's a good thing I didn't, saying like she told her friend, some people just don't know how to behave in a theater. They've never been.
Oh, I have. I could tell you a few stories about that.
Yeah. Well, that, and I was like, and so that made me mad. Sure, this is the long run comedy podcast in Seattle, and not that we have a ton of listeners, right? But it is a lesson that, one of the reasons I'm writing is, you know, I mean, I don't have a huge following on, you know, but I have a lot of people on Facebook that do read what I write, at least. Mm-hmm. And I have opportunities to voice. So I did feel there's a responsibility, because a couple other people shared that they had bad experiences with ushers, both there and other places. But I was like, you know what? For the sake of that, but for one, I do have a platform, and number two, I'm loudmouth enough to not care what they think, to say I'm going to tell them what happened from my perspective, where other people are afraid to say something, and so I should, just so they can at least maybe sit down for a retrain or something or whatever, or I'm totally wrong. Either way,
well, what you're saying about you just never know who you're talking to about that, Karen. It just reminds me, I was at a show once and there were these two ladies sitting in front of us that just had to carry on their conversations during the show, constantly leaning over, mutter. And finally, I just had enough. I'm trying to watch the show. I'm not trying to listen to you. So I just leaned over and said, shh. And they just took it upon themselves, especially one of them, at intermission, she was just going to make my life hell. Like, she literally got up at intermission, turned around, looked at me and went, shh. And I just went, okay. She comes back and just decides she's going to school me and tells me, it's fine to talk during the show. I'm from New York, and so I know that it's okay. I've been to Broadway. I lived there, and I know it's okay. And my friend that was with me was like inching forward in the seat, like, do you know who you're talking to? He sees how many shows a week? And I just looked at him and went, no, let's let her go. Just let her go, because it's just for me now. but yeah, people, people need to learn how to behave in the theater. Same show, Mockingbird. People coming in late because, you know, it happened. Yeah. There were a lot of people at the concessions, but they weren't letting people in after the doors were closed. Yeah. They had to come in at certain intervals.
Yeah.
And this guy came in at one of the intervals. He's like, you know, it's like a half an hour into the show. He comes bustling down, gets to his seat, and immediately, while the show is going on, immediately takes out his phone and starts taking pictures of the stage.
What?
Because apparently you can't have a memory for the thing you're looking at. The whole picture taking thing yeah. of the stage gets me. Sure, take a picture of you with your program. Look, I'm out for the evening and I'm not with the kids. Or, you know, take a picture of, I don't know, the main curtain if you must. But the rest of it is intellectual property. So let's not and just rely on our memories. But so, yeah, he whips out his phone, like literally his butt hit the chair and phone was out. And luckily some guy behind him leaned forward and went, put your phone away. And he's like, ugh.
I love that.
People need to in the theater. That's that was my soapbox right there. That was, I'm going to step down now.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh my God. Yeah. So I did make sure to put in my letter that I wrote. I was like, look, I'm a subscriber, but also it hurt my soul to say this, but I have been acting for 30 years now.
Yeah.
In live theater, I've directed and I was a front of house manager. Cause I also just wanted to say, and I'm not to like pad my resume here, but like, I want them to know I definitely have experience.
Yes. No. And there's so nothing wrong.
I know this. And I was like, as I'm even writing it, I was like, Patty, like, do you know who I am? I didn't mention the podcast on it. I didn't say that.
Yeah, okay, that's good. Like, that's good.
I didn't at least do that. I was, do you know that I'm a member of the press? Mm-hmm.
Which is why I told my friend not to go off on this woman when he was about ready to go. Do you know who he is? And I'm like, no.
No.
I am not going there. No.
But the thing is, you never, like, before you condescend on somebody, unless they're actually acting like a fucking doofus.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know the experience of someone else has. Because I was like, I'm going to make a wager, Karen, that there's a chance I've spent a little more hours in a theater. Just a chance. I'm not.
So a couple of years ago.
Certainly, someone like you, way more than I have. But this couple lady,
years ago, I had. Oh, she's knew no, nothing.
No.
A couple of years ago, I had another. There was a another reviewer in town that was plagiarizing my reviews. He basically would lift portions of it and call them his own, and it was really ridiculous because you'd go read his and you'd see like chunks of mine. But then he wouldn't like tailor it to what he was saying on either side of the paragraph. So they wouldn't make sense because like one of the chunks I remember seeing said, as I mentioned before, and I'm like, no, you didn't pull that part. So you didn't mention anything before. So you're just bad at plagiarizing. But anyway, he was plagiarizing my stuff. It got found out fairly quickly because one of the PR people for one of the big theaters had read my review and then read his and went, wait a minute, Jay just wrote this. What? And so she messaged me, are you giving permission for this? So I sent him a letter saying, you need to knock this off. You need to take down all of these reviews. This is my intellectual property. You are plagiarizing. If you don't stop, we'll take legal action. And he wrote me back the most condescending letter, which I won't say what the whole thing was, but part of it was, I know that you're an actor turned reviewer, so maybe you don't understand that this is the way it's done. You are allowed to pull those things. It's like taking something from a press release. And I responded back to him and I said, thank you for your condescending words. I'll have you know I actually have a degree in journalism that happened before I became an actor turned reviewer. And I know that this is called plagiarism. Back to the issue, take these down or I'll sue you. And he did.
That is wonderful.
But it was just, it was the whole, you don't know who you're talking to.
Yeah.
It's like, I have a degree in this stuff, guy.
That's the way it's done. Wow.
Yeah, it's the way it's done.
Wow.
Yeah, you can just take it, take from anyone. It's
fine.
Wow.
I mean, it's kind of a basic.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little basic.
He was kind of basic. Anyway, yeah. Oh, did I say that out loud?
Oh. No name.
I didn't say his name, though, at all.
Not at all.
And I'm not going to.
Okay, Jay, thank you for coming on and letting me vent.
Of course, thank you.
Vent to you. I wanted a theater person, someone well-versed in the theater, to know, to be able to express this with a fellow critic of the arts.
Yes, we're all so very hoity-toity, aren't we?
And thank you for not being a white guy who yells at me.
A white guy who what?
Yells at me.
I mean, as soon as you stop recording.
Yet.
As soon as you stop recording. Yeah.
That's.
Then the yelling will begin.
Then I'll be like, is this a Kill a Mockingbird right now?
I mean, the N-word a lot before. I would never know. Sorry, cut that part out.
Nerd.
Nerd. That's the N-word I was talking about.
The other N-word. Well,
thank
yeah.
you, Silas.
Thank you for coming thank on. Merry Black and a Half.
Merry Black and a Half. Join us.